This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington, where you can rest assured they are officially open, but we've had people in here all day long. In about 15 minutes, we're going to talk with Dallas Wings Executive Vice President and General Manager Kurt Miller. But right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. It has been a busy day. We've got our marathon show on Wednesday, so we've had a whole bunch of folks stopping by, dropping stuff off. We're loading that auction up.
Way to go.
Thank you very much. Now, on the injury front, which unfortunately it feels like we've had to talk about a lot for several weeks, Eric Kendricks, at least based off of, and I know you get to go out there for certain portions of it, looks good in terms of participation. Are we feeling good about his reappearance?
Yeah, I think that's been going on for several weeks now, right? That when they kind of give him Wednesdays off.
Yeah.
And then he gets back in practice on Thursday and usually Friday. So I feel good about him being back out there. At least when you see that stuff, he finished the game on Monday night. So I think that's a good indication that he's going forward. But, yeah, there's a lot of question marks on that injury report, isn't there?
Well, because I was going to ask about if it's the same thing for CD, because obviously, especially because he's so good, his missing practice makes me nervous as well.
Yeah, it should, because, you know, when they list them limited on Wednesday, it was basically a walkthrough with helmets on, right?
Yeah.
But then yesterday it's DNP'd, and
yeah,
that's somewhat concerning. So, yeah. And then...
Oh.
Scott, excuse me.
Bless you, Mickey.
No, he was upset because he made me upset. He goes, you should be concerned.
Trayvon Diggs, too, got put on limited yesterday also. And that's probably going to be their heaviest day of practice. Now, they weren't in pads, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll do their deal on kind of mock game on Saturday. But, yeah, you know, it's encouraging that they have – at least Jordan Lewis limited both days. So he had a stinger when they put neck shoulder, and he had told me he had never had one before. So I would imagine that's somewhat scary when you get one of those.
Especially in your neck, too.
He seemed encouraged that he would be able to play, but guys never say I'm out, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that one's a little bit concerning. And then for the biggest part is I see DNP next to Zach Martin and Tyler Smith.
Yep.
Both days.
Yeah.
So, and neither one of them finished the game. So that is somewhat of a concern, especially for we know who the backups are, right?
TJ Bass.
I mean, look now, Chuma
and Awesome Richards.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Chuma.
Yeah, Chuma's in the mix, but I don't want to have to remake the whole freaking offensive line.
You got to do it.
I guess so, especially because continuity. It's not just, like, obviously those are your, right now, your two best offensive linemen, but it's also the continuity of it. Is you can put talented players in there, but how quick are they all going to gel?
It's not like, you know, wide receivers are somewhat independent contractors, right?
Yeah.
Their routes don't depend on somebody else's route, I don't think. But with the offensive line, it's a different story. And let's remember, Chuma hadn't done anything. At least Awesome Richards and T.J. Bass have been practicing, you know, playing a little bit, right? Chuma hadn't done nothing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he wasn't doing anything before that. So, the offensive line thing kind of bothers me. Brandon Cooks seemed pretty pretty positive that he's good to go, so that's a good sign for the offense. But again, you know, the offensive line has been problematic, and if you don't have your two best guys out there, that's kind of worrisome.
I was reading some of Micah's comments yesterday about his conversation with Mike Zimmer. Could you elaborate a little more about the leadership that Zimmer's asking Micah to take on now for the rest of the season here?
Yeah, he had mentioned that, and you know, it's not just leadership in the game. I think it's leadership in the locker room, leadership on the practice field, that you're out there doing everything above and beyond to maybe, you know, pull other guys along with you. I think that's the stuff that Zim probably was talking about more so than just on the field and, you know, worrying about your performance. You got to worry about everybody else's too. And so I think that's probably what he was talking about. But you know what? He's said that before. I remember him saying when they kind of, you know, going to training camp that Zim wanted him to kind of be that voice on the defense, and I don't know how much he is. You know, it's hard to see how they interact in the game, right?
Yeah.
You know, we see in the locker room, we don't really get to see practice, right? The portion we get to see is, you know, pretty negligible in what's going on. So, I think that, you know, he keeps pushing him to go forward, and, you know, he's you know, he's looking at a contract extension now. He's basically got the fifth year the Cowboys picked it up, right? But
yeah,
you know, after that, do you want a long term deal or do you just want to get franchised? And then get franchised, and all of a sudden you're what, 7 years in the league, and now you're up for a contract. So I think he probably should consider some of that too, on being a leader, not just worrying about your own stats.
Have you spent the last 35 minutes or so going ahead and getting a jump start on your column about how Daniel Jones will give the Cowboys the best chance to win down the stretch?
Well, don't you think he would be an okay backup quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, huh? Man. Okay, I guess not. Corey said no.
Well, Corey, go look at who's the backup quarterback for a bunch of these teams.
You're right. You're right.
And most of them haven't played.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you can say, I got a guy that has played. Now, he's going to clear waivers, right?
Oh,
no one's
going to
pick up that contract.
No.
And then he has a choice after that if there are people that are interested in him. But without going through all other 31 teams on who their backups are, I would imagine and money shouldn't be any consideration for him for the guarantees that he got from the Giants, right? That he can pick a team that, well, maybe I can compete for the starting job, but I sure can be the backup quarterback. And what better job is there in the NFL than the backup quarterback? Until you have to play.
Yeah, and then everybody realizes why you're the backup quarterback, right? Yeah, frequently they realize why you're the backup quarterback.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was a whole weird thing about the practice thing and playing on the scout team.
Yeah, as a safety.
Well, you know why? Because they don't want them to get hurt.
Oh, absolutely. So you don't have to guarantee that money.
The scout team safety's not going to get hurt, right?
Yeah.
You're so far behind the action. And don't even try to tackle. Yeah, you're just going through the motions, right? Yeah, you probably don't even have to go try break up a pass. You're just running with the receiver to give him a look. So
they might keep the red jersey on him back there.
And maybe. Yeah. Absolutely. Because considering what was the guarantee on injury was something like 20-some million?
Yes, that is correct.
Going forward?
That is
and he's
correct.
Probably going to cost enough against the cap anyway for the guarantees he's already been paid.
I
20
think it's
some, right?
$22 million, I think, is the cap hit still to come.
So, yeah, you don't want that guy to get hurt, and he's already costing you. Well, he's costing you twice, right? He's costing you on the field and costing you on the salary cap.
Yeah, that is the cruel beauty that is the NFL, I suppose.
So Tommy DeVito's going to be the starter?
That's right, and Drew Lock is the backup.
See, Drew Lock should be the starter. Goodness gracious.
It's so much more fun that Tommy DeVito's the starter, though,
that
right?
That means the Cowboys are going to second time they've played him?
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully his agent will be there, living up to every stereotype you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that game, okay, what is your prediction this weekend, Cowboys-Commanders?
Because I am so uncertain about that offensive line, and I've got no guarantees that Jordan Lewis is playing or Deron Bland is playing. Even though Deron Bland listed as full, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
There's been guys inactive on game day that didn't have an injury, too.
Sure.
So it depends on what their confidence is in him and what his confidence is in himself. There's so many question marks. And Ferguson's not going to play. He's in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff missing. So,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I got Washington 24-17.
Okay.
And if anything weird happens like last night, who knows?
Maybe 24-19. Yeah,
or you win 24, whatever it was last night. 19?
Yes.
Yeah, 24-19. You got it. Maybe it'll snow. Who knows?
Okay, that would be awesome. The snow game automatically becomes better.
That was some serious snow, right?
It was, and Jameis Winston took a serious hit going into the end zone. It was a more fun game than I thought it would be. All right, we will catch up with you again on Monday, good sir. Thank you very, very much.
All right, sounds good. See ya.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington. And coming up next, joining us live at Buffalo Wild Wings, Dallas Wings Executive Vice President and GM Kurt Miller joins the show next right here on The Fan.
Arike on hold. Arike, step back for the lead.
Got it! JNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington off of North Collins if you want to come see us. And right now, sitting at the table with us at the Buffalo Wild Wings, Dallas Wings Executive Vice President and GM Kurt Miller. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know technically Buffalo Wild Wings is only supposed to open at 11, but does it feel like we can pack in the people already?
They're coming in.
Yeah, we have filled it up. So we were talking off air. We have a big charity show on Wednesday called Peace-a-thon, and the last couple of years, including this year, you guys have been really nice and given us a 4-pack of lower bowl tickets, which obviously I know are hotter than ever. But we always want to raise as much money as conceivably possible.
Because last year we hit 80,000.
And this year we're shooting for 100,000. So if you sit back and think about any amazing ideas to add to our wings package that could help us raise even more money, I just think that would be tremendous.
Well, you know, tickets, season tickets sold out. Fastest ever. So tickets are a hot commodity and could corral a nice dime out there.
I'm looking forward to that.
He is pretty relentless in his asks. He's always
It's
one of my favorite things about him.
Now, obviously, you've been here just a few weeks, and things have been moving very quickly. What brought you to Dallas? I know you have experience in this league for a long time. What brought you to Dallas? And obviously, tell us about your first couple weeks, because it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, I think today might be the start of my third week, or just over 2 weeks now. So it's been a whirlwind. Obviously, spent 34 years in women's basketball, 24 at the Division I level, last 10 in the WNBA. And when I was let go in L.A., a few weeks ago, I thought maybe I'd take the year off. And then the phone calls started coming in around the league, not only for head coaching jobs again, but GM jobs. And as most people that have followed the career, I was the dual hat in Connecticut in the WNBA for a long time, that both the GM and the head coach. But all the conversations kept coming back to Dallas, and the shared enthusiasm, the shared vision of where this franchise is going with two new facilities, a practice facility, a renovated downtown Dallas arena. It is a really exciting time, an energized fan base. Obviously, the recent unveiling of the draft lottery to get to number one pick, there's just been so much excitement brewing for Dallas that everything kept coming back to Dallas. So a really exciting opportunity to join the front office and run the basketball operations side. Will always be a pit in my stomach. We'll leave in the sidelines.
Sure.
But I've really enjoyed. I'm the ironically the second longest tenured GM in the league. So I missed it the last few years of not being the GM in Los Angeles. So really excited back, because roster construction is so close to my heart and so important in building a team that can make a run at a championship.
Hopefully, even more important than that, once you hire a head coach, you won't have to do as much media. How excited are you going to be about that?
Exactly. It's going to be fun to be the supportive behind-the-scenes role, not always the forward front-facing person like the head coach. The search is going tremendous. It's a global search. There's WNBA people that are interested. There's NBA people that are interested more than ever. The collegiate game, the collegiate game with the tough transfer portal, the NIL battles that are going on right now. More and more college coaches are looking to make the jump to the WNBA. So the coaching search is off and running. I'm having a lot of fun with it and look forward to naming the future head coach soon.
I've always been very curious about that. Is it a lot of network is the way that happens? Do they go to monster.com and they're like, this is the one that I want?
Does that site still exist?
I don't know. Indeed. Or like, how does that kind of come about? Or are they picking up the phone calling you guys?
Yeah, I think it's a little of everything. Obviously, agents are majorly involved, that protection of head coaches that have current jobs. Assistants, more and more assistants have agents that reach out, but it's a lot of communication, sometimes very upfront, sometimes through, you know, second and third parties, but the word gets out when they want it to that they're interested in the job. And why wouldn't you be with Enrique and now the number one pick, forming that core group of who will play, you know, surrounded by just a really exciting time to hire a new head coach and build something very special.
Does it weird that you have to keep saying the number one pick and you have to stop yourself from saying Paige Beckers?
Yeah, we can't say.
Sure. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows.
But, certainly an exciting day when you saw that ping pong ball go the right way for us.
On that front, having that number one overall pick, there's still a lot of scouting that goes into that. And I'm always curious on what things you see on tape. You get to see them on court. What things do you dive into off court to find out the fit of a person on that team?
Yeah, I think it's obviously on court, talent is so important. But championship teams in women's basketball are one in the locker room and how important culture is. Culture in all pro sports is so important. But in women's basketball in particular, the best teams have great culture in the locker room. So you're evaluating not on-court talent, sometimes with a pick as high as one or a lottery pick, it may be the obvious, the talent's obvious, but you're also still, looking into investigating, having interviews, talking about what these type of leaders and players are on and off the court and not just their talent, but exciting times. I know I'm really excited to be with you today, but on my short drive over here from the office, at least four GMs I've missed calls with. We have the expansion draft here very shortly. Obviously, we now have the number one pick. So as you can imagine, my phone is ringing quite
often. We're very good negotiators. Uh-huh. If I need any help along the way.
Kevin and I both we started as high school beat reporters. Like, that was what we did in the DFW area, and we were covering high school girls basketball and boys basketball and everything. We got to see really fun girls basketball around here. What drew you to the women's side of basketball? Because this past season was electric. It was an absolute blast. I'm glad more people are starting to see that version of it.
Yeah, it's been such a great product. My role model growing up was I had an older sister who was a tremendous athlete, a little rugrat, 5'2 point guard that was able to go before it was really popular, D1. So I had a great appreciation for girls basketball and women's basketball from an early age. The ironic story for me was I was a senior in high school preparing for my own basketball season. I came from a little tiny school district in western Pennsylvania. In our school district at that time, you had to be a teacher in order to be a coach. Yes. No one wanted to coach the 7th and 8th grade girls team. My high school coach knew I wanted to coach down the line. They asked, hey, I know you're only 4 years older than these guys. You're a senior, but you're not playing a fall sport this year in preparation of your own season. Will you coach the 7th and 8th grade girls team? And so I did as a senior in high school in our little district back in western Pennsylvania, and I was hooked ever since then. Very fortunate, 35 years later, I'm still in women's basketball, been at the highest levels of D1 and obviously now the last decade in the pros. I've been very, very blessed at the right place at the right time and really have enjoyed my career around women's basketball.
I know it's probably come up a lot, but I'm kind of curious the dynamics of the Caitlin Clark effect in terms of not just the popularity, but like, some people seem to have really embraced it in the league because they're like, hey, more eyeballs can be more money for all of us. Whereas there also seems to be some pushback from players or execs that have like, we've had a good product for a lot of years. Like, it didn't just start being good. What is your breakdown of that kind of dynamic?
Yeah, I think two things can be true. I'm a big, big advocate that our product's always been great.
Yeah.
I'm bullish on the fact that when we get people into the arenas, when we get people watching on TV, that women's basketball can hook you. And that was the challenge, to get more and more new eyeballs, new faces on our game. So I've always been bullish that our product's been good. But I also really, really thank this draft class that just came into the WNBA, the explosion at the collegiate level, in large part to Caitlin and Angel Reese, and the
and
excitement
Paige,
around
yeah,
and
Paige,
Juju,
the excitement around women's basketball is at an all-time high. It is now taking those college fans into the pro game with Caitlin coming in, with Angel coming in, that draft class. I had two in Connecticut, in Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson. And so it's really fun, all the eyeballs that are on our game, and it's amazing. My DMs are typically open. This year has been absolutely crazy. the people that follow you, but kind of motivate you with all the hate and the stuff that you get. But, you know, that those are good growth things for our game as long as it doesn't get nasty. It's just really exciting with the amount of viewership that we have on women's basketball right now.
How difficult is that? Because I know every player, coach, everybody will be like, tune it out, tune it out. How much more difficult is that said or to actually do as opposed to just say? Like, to just actually be like, I'm not going to let any of that bother
me. Yeah, I think you have to really protect your players' mental health and also, you know, what's going on. I could speak to it because it was my toughest season ever as a head coach. We were decimated by injuries, just did not have a good season record-wise in L.A., and the DMs that I would get on a daily basis, ironically to me, one of the other avenues is most of my nasty DMs that would come to me directly after games, you could all kind of point back to how many people are betting on women's basketball now.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, you took that player out with 4 minutes to go in the game. She needed one more rebound. You cost me $600.
Yeah.
Or the next time, you know, you cost me $500 because, you know, like you took this person out or didn't play in minutes. And so it is amazing the amount of hate I got, but when you really read what the hate was, it's because how many people are actually betting on women's basketball right now.
Putting aside, obviously, all of the WNBA rules this would violate, if any of those people would have fronted you some money because you helped them cover one of their over-unders, then would you have been more receptive to that follow-up DM?
I refuse to answer
that
question.
Okay, that's probably smart.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you envision for this roster specifically and these women that are on here right now and whatever pick you add to it, how that kind of might fit in, but this team specifically, how have you gotten to know them and you pick a couple things, or do you try and clean slate things? I'm kind of curious on that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And first and foremost, I think it's the partnership that goes along with the head coach. You know, I have to hire the head coach, and then we are aligned. I look at the head coach as the chef, and I'm going to try to help get the ingredients that he wants to cook with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I put together the team and then ask him to coach players that maybe don't fit his system, you're fighting yourself. So there's going to be a head coaching search, and when that hire is made, a real alignment between the two of us that I'm really supportive and really helpful to get the head coach the players that they can be successful. Now, with that said, there's some non-negotiables. I believe in culture. I believe in culture creator players. I believe in unselfish players in the locker room. There's got to be a competitiveness amongst the players that we put on our roster, a true desire to get better. It's a grind. The WNBA's cadence of games with nearly three games a week is not easy in this league. Fortunately, we now have charter travel, but it's not an easy cadence, so you have to get competitive players. You have to get players that have a desire to get better and prepare each and every day. Those are some of the non-negotiables, but mainly I'm going to be partnering with the head coach and what type of players they want and they think they can be successful with.
How tough is it to figure out that culture competitiveness vibe? Because I don't imagine when you're talking with players, they're like, yeah, I've kind of been described as a cancer, or like, I'm not really coachable. Like, I understand that that's the job. Like, how long does that take to kind of watch and see and be like, okay, I see it, or I don't see it?
Yeah, again, you're right, you know, but we've done this for so long that you have an innate ability. Well, you know, like, there's one thing about going to games, you know, and watching game after game. I'm a big person to go into games in person. But I love going to practices. I think it tells you even more about players. You actually interact with coaches more on practice days than game days. And you can really watch them interact with their teammates. You can watch their work ethic. You can watch, you know, their demeanor. So, you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into being a GM and in talent evaluation and then obviously talent acquisition. But to me, there's no substitute of hard work, and it's not just game night or turning into ESPN on 7 o'clock every night. You know, you got to go do the work and go watch these players, talk to people in their circles, talk to coaches.
One of our old producers, his name's Reggie, he's down in Houston now hosting his own show, but he always uses the term, and I always love this, the ball has energy. And when the ball's moving around, everybody kind of gets that, they get more into the game. Let's say you have a very talented point guard who really likes to have the ball a lot, and then every once in a while will take a wild step back three, mm-hmm. and then maybe that's he's not getting everybody else, or she's not getting everybody else involved in the game.
He knows who you're talking about.
Do you think that can win? Or like, how important is, seriously though, the ball moving around and being part of the assets to the team?
Yeah, I think there's a combination.
This
where
is a hoops question.
You gotta put your best players in position to be successful. You got to get the ball to your best players. At the same time, in women's basketball, the ball moves side to side. There's not as much isolation in the WNBA as there is in the NBA. You know, the great devil in the women's game is there's very few players that can create their own shot each and every possession. But players that can create their own shots have a tendency to be given a green light or take some bad shots.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line between you know, being an efficient basketball team and allowing some of your players that have really, really unique gifts some freedom to take some tough shots. You know, the better players get to take some tough shots. But basketball is about efficiency and the ball moving, and the ball finds energy, absolutely, is all part of it. But, you know, again, I can't wait to partner with a head coach and watch them get to work on this kind of stuff.
Do you, with that being the next key step, do we have a general timeline or hopeful timeline for when that will go down? I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But if do you have a general timeline for Len, like, we really want this to be locked in by whatever date?
Yeah, you know, I think that my goal is obviously to be thorough. There was a great commitment to getting the GM hired here in Dallas, which ended up being me, to allow them to run the search because the partnership between the GM and head coach is so important. So, you know, some of the other jobs around the league that were open before us, their searches are either finalized or are farther along. But I love where the process is at. I love the interest. My goal, obviously, with free agency ramping up in January, the expansion draft just around the corner, the sooner the better. But we'll have a coach hired well before the new year. Again, I'm going to continue to be thorough until we land on the person that is the right fit for us to chase championships in Dallas.
And for people that want to follow or buy tickets, just hit the website. Would that be the recommendation?
Yeah.
I know you said tickets are selling out, though, so we better move on that.
Absolutely. Get in line on that waiting list, and then, you know, single sale game tickets will be available, and those walk-up opportunities will be there. Schedule, not far away from being released by the WNBA. It will be here before you know it, and then that will create even more excitement when you can physically see, you know, who's coming to Dallas, when they're coming to Dallas. Will generate another wave of interest for us here in the near future.
Outstanding. Kurt, thank you very much for not only being on the show with us, but coming up. I know it's like a whole mile from your facility, but still, but for coming up to...
You know, I was warned about trains. I don't even know where the trains are, but I was warned.
Yeah, sometimes we don't either. Yeah, that's
very true. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it very much, good sir. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. This time we really will dive into the Cowboys offensive roster questions. Next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Holy moly, it has been a busy first couple of hours here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington.
Time to take a load off.
I guess. Yeah, off of North Collins. Go ahead and take... No, I'm not going to do it. So thank you very much again to Kurt Miller, GM for the Wings, for coming up here. And they had several representatives from the Wings. Corey, you'll be glad to know that I made sure to wander on over there and just ask a few follow-up questions and whatnot. And does look like we're going to be adding to our Dallas Wings package. So
Nice. Stay
tuned for that.
You know what I'm really happy about seeing on the fan text were the amount of people that were like, this dude sounds really interesting. This dude sounds awesome. I'm excited about this. Like, that's really cool to see that, because I love when we have unique different guests on.
For sure.
And so having somebody that has that kind of passion towards what he's doing,
for sure,
you can hear that coming out of everything he was saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, right now.
I want to also add this. Somebody said, let's call Mike. Everything went well.
Yes.
He texted us and said everything went well. So we're good. That's a thumbs up there.
Good. Right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy? And let's start with, that amuses me every time, no matter how many times I've heard it. Let's go ahead and start with Thursday Night Football. Alec played the cut. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. I know Pittsburgh is 8-3. Two of those losses are to the Cowboys and the Browns, and the other one is to the Colts. They can go 14-3, and I think at this point I will not take the Pittsburgh Steelers seriously.
Okay. What do they need to do in the playoffs then?
Win.
Like, because will you just be like...
Honestly, if they win one playoff game, I'll be like,
so,
okay.
You know, the game that they won where they only scored field goals, that's telling
enough. Which one? They've done that twice this season.
Well, and the most recent one. That's against Baltimore. That's telling about what they are offensively.
Yeah.
And that's still, they're not a good offensive team. So I can't take their offense seriously. Their defense, which T.J. Watt did get zero sacks last night while Myles Garrett got three. But their defense is very good.
Do you think Myles Garrett remembers T.J. Watt not showing up to that ceremony?
The thing about that is, like, Mike Tomlin, we talk about how good of a coach he is. And he knows what his team is. So he knows he has to make it a gross, dirty, bad game that's not really exciting because he doesn't have the quarterback to do that right now. So that's what they're going to try to do, but it limits them, and really good teams with really good defenses know how to take advantage of that. They just got to figure out, kind of like, I don't know, the Cowboys had just the right plan because they knew they weren't going to be a lot of points scored, so you just had to claw and fight and hold on through that one.
Did you have any interest in the outcome of this game? More specifically, were you excited Cleveland won because of the potential draft implications it could have with the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, I wasn't. I wanted to see football and then seeing football in the snow, so that was the excitement part
for
me. I'm not there yet, Kevin, because... I don't know. I guess I just won't be there until late December in that mindset of, all right, now we need to focus on draft pick and draft order. But I am on a point where I'm starting to go, okay, which team am I going to follow in the playoffs? And that might be a C-block conversation because I bet you're probably going to take a guess and get the team right.
The Detroit Lions is going to be my guess. By the way, a follow-up for the Daniel Jones thing that is really interesting to me is it's not that they released him, and I get his salary is guaranteed for the rest of the season, so I still think they pay him like $1.95 million for every week the rest of the season. But by releasing him now, you lose the opportunity to post him as a post-June 1st cut, which means you have to take the whole hit next year. And like I said, I'm pretty sure that hits about $22 million. So they're like, hey, you know, you're done, we're done. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and go.
And, Kevin, when it comes to Dak Prescott, can the Cowboys rip a Band-Aid off, or is it just like a continual slow bleed?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to have to bleed out for a couple more years.
Could they have ripped it off if they hadn't signed this contract?
Yes, that is correct.
That was all right.
I mean, that would have been a massive rip.
Yeah.
But you could have done it.
You would have had options. Like, with this draft upcoming, you could be in a completely different boat if you're at the top of the draft.
That is true. So for people holding out hope about Shador,
it ain't happening.
Yeah, focus on Travis Hunter instead. All right, let's go from that to let's talk a little bit more about the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I wanted to ask you if any of these questions intrigue you offensively down the stretch. What do we have in Trey Lance? Like, I get it. They could win 7 in a row and make the playoffs. But realistically, they're not playing for anything this year except for, like, let's figure out the future.
Did you hear McCarthy this morning talking about him? Because he was saying, you know, Trey's done everything we've asked him to do in practice. He's still developing. He threw that line out. He's still developing, and he's going to get his opportunity at some point. But he did continue to say, you know, like, the chance to win is with Cooper Rush. Now,
you
know, McCarthy's going to try and hold out hope because, Kevin, that does go on his ledger. You know, at the end of his career, when he's all done, wins and losses are going to sit there. And he didn't want to have more losses added to that thing, so he's still trying to win for himself there. So I agree with you. I want to see what you have there. They built those packages for him. And is he good enough to be a backup quarterback for my team next year to replace Cooper Rush in case something like this happens? Because Cooper Rush can't move the way that that guy can. That might be a better option if your quarterback goes down.
Is Rico Dowdle part of this team's future?
As a backup running back, I think.
Okay, and that's it, right?
They're going to try to run the ball this week for sure against Washington, who I think you can run the ball against.
Yes, because they have those poor rush.
Those defensive ends are very similar to what the Cowboys had last year. They get up the field, and they don't cut in very easy. But I think that Rico Dowdle might have a decent game this year. But, Kevin, he hasn't done anything to blow anybody's minds. I do think he's part of it, but just as a backup running back.
Is Luke Schoonmaker for sure the number two tight end? Because I know, like, Jake Ferguson's out, probably not going to play this weekend. Obviously, they've been pushing the ball to span forward quite a bit. Do you think Schoonmaker is for sure the number two tight end?
With that high of a draft pick, yes.
Okay.
An organizational thing. They're like, hey, look, man, you used a second-round pick on that guy. He's the one. So I think they'll continue to push him. But as far as receiver goes, Span Ford's very good. He's very interesting to watch. And the way that the Cowboys go through tight ends, I don't know how much longer you're like, well, Jake Ferguson is that dude, you know?
I hope this makes sense and you don't think I'm a moron. I don't want Tyler Smith or Zach Martin to be hurt, obviously. If they miss some more time, I don't think it's the end of the world because of Awesome Richards, TJ Bass, Brock Hoffman. I would just love to see those guys get as much time as possible so we can properly slot, like, could you ever start? Do I feel comfortable with you as a backup? Do you need to not be on this team in any form? You know what I'm
Mickey
saying?
Mickey brought up this morning, he was like, well, Daniel Jones has played. Mickey's basically saying reps are important.
They are.
Game reps. You're not getting as many practice reps anyway, but game reps are very important. So, yeah, man, I want to see those guys because if their game reps are showing that they can't be NFL players, they don't need to be on this roster because you've already told yourself, Jerry has told us, the depth is not good enough. So, yeah, I want to see that happen.
Are you excited about the return of Brandon Cooks or are you like, I don't think he's going to be here, so I'd rather see whether it's Flonoy, more Tolbert, Brooks, like however you would break that.
Okay, Kevin.
Oh.
All these excitement questions.
Oh.
I don't want to watch boring football for the next 7 weeks.
Even if it's for the betterment of
That's
the
fine.
Future?
You can still lose and be exciting, all right?
That's
you
true.
Can still lose and have fun games. And I'd rather have that than be like, oh, my gosh, the ball is not moving. They are getting nowhere with this
right.
team. Like, I don't like three and outs. So that's just boring to watch. So, yeah, I want to see Brandon Cooks get out there and have a big 50-yard touchdown.
Did you know that with the Lions' 9-1 start, they're off to the best start since the team was 10-0 in 1934.
What?
Yeah, that was a big year
for
the Lions because that was their first year in Detroit because previously they were the Portsmouth Spartans started playing in 1930. So they moved to Detroit in 1934.
Scully McPherson.
I don't know that to be the case, but I can't rule it out either. But it's been 90 years since they've had a start this good.
Yeah, well, that's impressive. I mean, like, that just shows you how desperately that Lions fan base needs something like this.
That is.
And why Dan Campbell's so adamant about what he's trying to accomplish.
Very, very true. Robert Kraft looks like he's getting passed over by the Hall of Fame again.
Wow.
Now, every story says snubbed, so it kind of feels like it gives you insight into what the media is saying. And clearly, if you're just going off a winning track record, he's got it as good or better as anybody else. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Sure. I mean, he helped put together that team, you know, that was a real dynasty. I think that was as close to a dynasty as we've gotten in a long time in the NFL. And what the Chiefs are doing right now looks dynastic as well. I don't care about owners being in the Hall of Fame, though. Honestly, that's not that big of a deal to me. And I wonder yesterday when you asked Jerry about that, about Darren Woodson, if he wasn't in the Hall of Fame, would he have been a little more adamant about, yes? Because he did the, look, once you're in, you're in. It doesn't matter when you got in, but you're in. If Jerry wasn't in still, would he have been like, no, you need to get him in?
Yes.
because he's like, I want to be in too.
Now, I want to throw this out there real quick. From the 817, why don't you draft a quarterback to actually sit and learn then? This is a fair question. I know maybe Shador and Deion don't want that, but if they do, what about another quarterback and rip the Band-Aid off after next year? All right, here is...
I don't think that's a bad idea.
The reason why I do think it's a bad idea is just because of the dollars and cents of it. I don't disagree with the logic of it.
The amount it's going to cost for the quarterback position.
So right now, let's say you let Dak play next year, and then you released him after that. You know what his dead cap hit is? $62 million. But not really, right? Because the Cowboys are probably going to flip another switch on that contract, and it's going to be more like $92 million. I'm just telling you, I don't disagree with that like general philosophy, but... the Cowboys are going to screw themselves on the salary cap. And if you want to rebuild, great. They do not. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to do Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because, and Corey, this place is getting pretty filled.
Dude, Buffalo Wild Wings fries are fantastic. And the Tolos are great, too. Yeah.
I know we don't have Mike here, but what if at 12:20 we got in a combo platter and went wireless?
Go wireless, baby.
Think that's
I'm gonna
a
eat
good
these
idea?
Fries over here.
All right. All right. But coming up next, Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because. We'll do that next live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington off of Collins on 105.3 The Fan.